Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In this lesson, we're going to talk about collections, which are like more fully powered arrays, as well as talk about object and collection initializers. So previously we looked at arrays and we said that an array is simply a sequence of data that's stored in memory. And you can access any individual element of the sequence by using its index to kind of index into a given element. All right, and arrays are great, but they lack a certain number of features that we may find desirable. For example, the length of arrays are fixed once you declare them. What if I need to add more items to the array from what the original size of it was declared as? Or what if I need to remove an item from the array? Or what if I didn't want to work with an index? Maybe I want to use some sort of key, like a name, for example, to find the element that I want to work with. So if I were working with customer data, I might want to look up a specific customer by using their last name or some other key that I've defined. So there are some other features like sorting and that make collections superior to arrays. And there's actually two different kinds of collections. There's the original style, which I'm going to refer to as simple collections. And then there are the newer style, which are called generic collections, which solve a big problem that was first experienced with the .NET framework. So to demonstrate some of the features and the limitations of collections, I created a setup project similar to what we've done in previous videos. So wherever you downloaded this video or wherever you are streaming it from, you should be able to download the code that's associated with this video. And inside of the folder, there should be a before and after folder. Inside of the before folder, there should be a collections project, and we're going to use this as the starting point. Just merely copy it and paste it into whichever directory your version and edition of Visual Studio uses to store your projects in. Now, in my case, that's in the documents, my documents, Visual Studio 2010 projects folder. Yours may be different. Just wherever it is, just paste that folder in there. Once it's pasted, double-click and double-click on the solution file to open it up into Visual Studio. And before we get too far here, let's take an overview of this project so you know what we're working with. There are two classes, the car class, which is simply composed of two simple properties, and a book class, which has three properties, a title, author, and ISBN. In the submain located in the module1.vb, I merely create an instance of car, a second instance of car, populating its properties, and then an instance of the book. All right, so let's start with one of the simple collections called an array list. It has features of an array. It can easily be converted to an array, but it also has some features of a list as well. So let's start with creating a new instance of an array list. So dim my array list. And just so you know, the simple collections are stored in system.collections. And then in our case, array list. All right. Now to add items to the array list, all you need to do is use the add method. And as you'll see, one of the problems with the simple collections, as indicated here with the array list, is that not only can I add cars, but I can also add any data type. So I could do this as well. So I've added a book to my array list. Now that might be exactly what I need. If that's the case, that's great. But I'm going to show you a downside to that here. If I want to, for each, my car as car in my array list. So I want to loop through and assume that each item in my array list is a car so that I can do something like this, console.writeLine, my car.make. Now let's see what happens whenever we hit the book as we're looping through using the for each statement. Okay, Oldsmobile and Geo, that's great. But then the third time through, when we get to the item in the array list that's not of type car, we're going to get an invalid cast exception. And there were all types of ways that people came up with to kind of constrain the array list to only accept cars. And maybe if you're really careful, you can create an array list for your personal use that only accepts cars. That's not really the best way to go about it. I'll show you the solution to this in just a little while, but let's just start here with this simple case. To make this example work, let me show off a way of removing an item. So we'll add the item to the array list, and then we'll immediately remove it using the remove method from the array list, and now our example should work without any exceptions. Great. There are some other features of an array list, and we'll see these evidenced in other types of collections as well. For example, you can clear the entire list out using the clear method. You can ask, does this array list contain this object? All right, and if it does, it'll return a true. It can give you a count of items. There's one other here that I wanted to look at. Oh, you can insert a new item at a specific spot as well. So using a specific index. You can also index into and grab a specific item just using its index, much like an array. And there's probably something here I'm forgetting, but let me just look through the list really quick. You can reverse, obviously. You can sort by passing in a special object that you use to compare one item against another. So we could sort cars based on their model if we created a comparer class, which we're not going to demonstrate in this video, but it's possible to do that. There's an easier way to do it, though. Okay, let's move on. So before we leave what I'm referring to as simple collections, I want to look at another one to kind of show you how dramatically different collections can be. And this one's a dictionary collection. It's a list dictionary, which allows me to assign a key to each element in the collection so that I can look up that single item in the collection using only its key instead of its index. All right, so let me comment all of this out. And this time, we'll create just to show you where it's at. All right, so now when we have our list dictionary, we can add new items, and you'll see that we have to give it two pieces of information, both a key and the object itself. So in this case, I'm going to go car1.make, and then the object itself, which is car1. car2.make, and then car2. And we can use anything for the key as long as it's a type string, I believe. And just to demonstrate that, let's see. Or actually, it's any type of object. So we can use anything as a key that we want to. And we'll just keep it simple by keeping it with our string, since that's all we have to work with here. In this case, we'll use the author. And again, this shares the same feature as our previous simple array, in so much that it would accept any data type, which is kind of cool on the surface, but as we demonstrated a moment ago, it exposes an issue. So if I wanted to just access one item of my list dictionary, I can merely pass in its key. And we happen to know that we have a key called Geo, and then I can refer to the property of that given item. So if we ran the application, we would expect to see Prism because it's associated, it's the model property of the item that's returned by passing in the key called Geo that we set right here. We can do something as well, like this. and grab just the ISBN number. You can see that would be correct for the book. Now you can also see that since it's not strongly typed, however, I can easily break it by referencing a different data type. So if I were to try to pull model, we're going to get a missing member exception was unhandled. All right, so again, suffers from the same issues as before. Since the list dictionary saves everything as an object, we have to cast it back into the correct data type. And we let that happen for the most part automatically through implicit type conversion. Of course, the bigger issue here is that since the list dictionary is not strongly typed, it can be easily broken. But what if we could create a collection that was specific to only car or to book, and when you attempt to put either a car or a book in, it would stop you right there at compilation time. We could add only instances of the correct type into the collection, and we could also treat all items in the collection as a given type, and we wouldn't have to worry about casting or converting types or potential issues at runtime. And that's exactly what happened a couple of years ago when the .NET Framework 2.0 was released. Microsoft added a new set of generic collections. So the concept of generics is a bit advanced. In a nutshell, a generic type provides a basic implementation of some functionality, in our case, collections, but it can be used in other ways as well. However, the user of the generic collection makes it specific, I guess you could say, by adding his own data type to it. So from that point on, it's strongly typed to the type that you define it to be. All right, that might sound a little strange, but I'll show you a demonstration here in a second. You define the specific data type by defining it using this of type syntax on the collection. So let me go ahead and just comment this out. You'll see what I mean. And we're going to see this type of syntax all over the place. So it's important that at least you've been exposed to it. So here we're going to create a new list of and then we're going to give it the type we want to make it a list of. We'll make it a list of cars equals new list of car. And now let's go ahead and try to add items to it. So I'm going to add car 1. Great. I'm going to add car 2. And now let me try to add a book to it and see what happens. Uh-oh. Blue squiggly line, hover my mouse cursor over it, it says it can't be converted to collections of car. So it catches that even before compilation, but with pre-compilation. So now that we know that we're only working with a list of cars, here's what we can do. All right, let's do this. And since it knows it can only be a car, a type of car, we can run it with the assurance that it's going to work just fine. Similarly, let's comment this out. Notice here that I'm giving it two data types. In fact, let me back up a little bit. Let's just show this. If you look at the definition of it, you have to give it a type for the key and a type for the value. So we'll make it of string for the key. So it can only be a key of string. And it can only be a value of car. So now let's do this. car1.make car1. All right, so what were to happen if we try to give it a different data type, like let's use a literal date so it doesn't try to convert it. It might still try to convert it. Let's see if this will throw an error. It doesn't. So let's start over again. So let's see what happens if we try to do this. Car 2. All right, and because car 2 cannot be easily converted to a string, we're going to get an exception here. Again, because the data type for our first argument is not of type string. Okay, so that is the notion of generics. So again, generics are simply data types that are waiting for you to make them specific by specifying a data type as you declare it. All right, and just as a short aside, if you recall from the previous lesson, we were looking at this project called Enumerations. I think this was the one. And we saw this funky triparse of superhero. It needed that data type of superhero because it needed to know what you expected the string to be converted or parsed into. We expected to be parsed into type superhero. So that's why we saw that that there. All right, let's close that up. All right, do you remember when we were looking at arrays and I showed you some syntax at the end of that lesson that allowed us to do this, where we were initializing the values in the array up front as opposed to adding them after we declared the array. We can do the same sort of thing here as well. Let me comment all this out. With objects. So let me show you this. Using the with keyword, this time what we can do and notice how we're doing this. I'm using the open curly brace, then dot, and it shows me the properties for the car type. And then I use a comma to get to the next property. And so you begin to see this pattern again and again when working with collections and objects. As you look at examples out there out on the internet and on MSDN, you'll see the use of object initializers. It lets you shorten about, you know, 3, 4, 5 lines of code into a single line of code. And it's essentially initializing the value of an object up front. So the syntax is pretty easy. After you create a new instance of the class, as we did here with car, you use the opening and closing curly brace, and inside of the curly braces you start setting each of the properties. All right, you can set as many or as few as you want to. And then you separate each of the properties with a comma. And you get IntelliSense help like we saw a moment ago. It's neat. All right, now to really kind of cook your noodle here, you can do something that's really cool called collection initializers, since we're talking about collections. So, we have in a couple lines of code here created an instance of a list and then started adding items to the list. And these items were already kind of initiated up here at the very top of our code. But we could also do something like this, and you'll see this again in other people's code, and maybe you'll get to the point where you'll be writing code like this yourself to kind of keep everything nice and tidy together where it belongs. You see what I'm doing here? And then we'll close it up with a final curly brace at the very end here. And I could even format this by going to the next line with this, I believe. All right, that's a little more concise. Okay, you know, just to kind of recap what's going on here, we're creating a new list of cars. We're using a from keyword that essentially serves the same purpose as the with keyword does with object initializers. So we're going to create a new list from the following new objects, and then we start creating new instances of car. Now you might say, well, what happened to the variable names that we used here, like car one and car two? Well, you don't really need those. It doesn't need those because those are just, again, handles on buckets, but we don't need those handles necessarily. We can just pass in a new instance of car, not even give it a variable outside of the collection to hang on to that new instance of the class in memory. And that's exactly what we're doing here. All right, so once you wrap your head around object initializers, collection initializers are really easy. Again, you should familiarize yourself with this syntax, and if possible, start using it from the very beginning as you type some code examples on your own, so that it becomes your personal preference. You see this used often now in new examples in books and in articles. All right, so let's recap what we talked about in this lesson. We started off by looking at collections as a robust alternative to using arrays. And we started working with a couple of collections in the system.collections namespace, the simple collections, as I refer to them as. And we saw that because they weren't strongly typed, they introduced some potential challenges. It allowed us to add items of any given type, which were cast to object. And therefore, when we went to retrieve items out, we first had to cast or rely on Visual Basic to cast them back to the original type for us. And then secondly, if we were to accidentally insert something into that collection and tried to treat it as a different data type, we would get a runtime error. And we said, well, what if we could fix that problem? What if we could create a collection that was specific to, for example, car or book? And that was the impetus behind creating generic collections, or rather a generic implementation of a collection that's made specific by the data type that you, the developer, pass in. So in our situation here, we have a list of type car. So now it can only accept cars of or objects of type car. So that's what a generic collection or method does. It allows you, the developer, to define its specifics by passing in the data type that you want to use within that given collection or method. All right. Once we did that, then we were able to work with collections in a strongly typed manner. We were able to catch potential issues by accidentally adding objects of different data types into collections at design time as opposed to at runtime. So we're able to avoid nasty errors, or our users might avoid them. And we saw how great an improvement it was. It also gave us IntelliSense as developers so we could work with data in collections in a strongly typed manner. Then we switched gears for a moment. We talked about the object initializer syntax that allowed us to both create a new instance of a class and set its properties using this open bracket, close bracket syntax, defining the properties and setting them to their initial values, and the with keyword. And then we extended that notion to the idea of collection initializers, which combines what we learned about object initializers with a from keyword. So we could say, create a new list of cars of type car from the following new objects. And we created instances of a given class, in this case car, and added them as objects of type car to our new list called My List of Cars. And I just noted there that while you may not find a need for collections, first of all, at the very beginning, once you do, then you should start forcing yourself into using this syntax whenever you feel that it's appropriate, because you're going to see this syntax often in examples online on MSDN and so on. All right, we're getting close to the end. In the next lesson, we're going to use a relatively new syntax called link. All right, so we're getting close to the end. In the next lesson, we're going to use a relatively new syntax called link to query these collections, these generic collections that we've created, and you'll start seeing where some of the power resides in collections as well. So we'll see you in the next video. Thank you.